everybody. Guess what time it is? What's up, everybody? It's your boy Timmy Two Time in the house. What up?
Hello, hello, hello. This is Heidi.
Hey, everybody. This is Jeremy, and welcome to our world.
Oh, as you can tell, this is a really pissed off Tim today. What's up, Mr. Soli? So what do you got for us today, kid?
What is going on, everybody?
Dear Lord.
Jesus. Help us all.
All right. Take it easy there. It's going to be one of those. All right. So let's get this show started. New Hampshire just had their primary. We'll tell you about those results that has the Democratic Party a little upset. Also talk about Bloomberg is a racist. I don't know if you heard about that clip, but I will show you what he said about minorities and how he targeted them. Yeah, so we'll also talk about the left has lost its mind. I have a few clips from a couple of students who are triggered by, you guessed it, diversity.
Oh,
and
dude.
Also, Tulsi Gabbard says she wouldn't have killed Qassem Soleimani because presidents shouldn't get to decide wars. So we'll talk about all that and more on this episode of The Salty Show.
Salty Show. I just pooped my pants, by the way.
Jesus Christ.
I'm moving
to Pittsburgh with you, man.
You got Eric Solwell next to you.
I might have just pooped my pants.
I can't do this anymore.
I'm gonna sit here in soiled shorts.
You're
by
disgusting.
The way,
oh god, sorry, Heidi.
Oh
sorry,
my god, I just I it, like it's just like coming up into my mouth. It's disgusting. I don't have time to poop.
All right,
you guys rush me.
All right,
I don't have time to poop.
We'll cut that out.
No, leave that in there.
Yeah, no, leave that in there. Right. I want the world to know.
People
that
Tim is a people should know.
Timmy two time. It's two for a reason. The number two is there for a reason.
Timmy number
right,
two.
His jeans.
Yes. Yeah. I think I just ripped a hole in my underwear.
I might have to start calling.
Let me tell you something. I am sick and tired of traffic. Tired of traffic. It should not take an hour and a half to legitimately go 15 freaking miles. Sorry. 15 miles, hour and a half today.
Hmm.
I want to put turrets on the side of my car so I can shoot out the tires for everybody that does not know how to, you know, like guns.
Turrets.
Oh.
Gun turrets.
Gun turrets.
Did you say like tourists?
Oh. Turrets. Just shoot the tire. Get them off the road. You know, like, you know what? You should not be on the road if you don't know how to drive during rush hour. There should be no reason why 80-year-old people are on the road in the left lane going 20 miles an hour in rush hour. There's no reason for it. Stay home. You should be out from the hours of 9:30 and 1:30. After that, you don't drive. Not until 7 o'clock at night when everybody's home, has dinner, and you don't freaking get in their way. I'm tired of it, guys. I need a job where I work close to home. 5-minute commute, no traffic, or even if it's 30 miles away, reverse commute. Tired of this shit.
This guy.
All right. Well, if anybody out there has a job.
Yeah.
Greg Jarrett. I don't know who the fuck Greg Jarrett is, but Barr shouldn't criticize Trump's Roger Stone tweet. AG should clean up Justice Department mess. It was the first headline that I pulled today. And it's just saying, you know, Democrats in the mainstream media are in the grips of mass hysteria again. Yep. This time their psychogenic illness was triggered by presidential tweet. And even the Attorney General William Barr seems to have been affected.
Yeah. Barr did turn around, came out and said to ABC today, he's like, Trump needs to stop tweeting about DOJ cases because it's making it impossible for him to do his job. He's like, I need him to stop. He goes, stop tweeting about cases.
So a little backstory on what's going on. The left wants to impeach Trump because basically they want to impeach him again because he chimed in on a harsh sentencing that was put on Roger Stone. Roger Stone, they're saying he obstructed justice, tampered with witnesses. Basically what he did is he threatened some guy that he was going to go steal his dog if he testified and cooperated with that whole Russia investigation bullshit. The guy's name is Jerry Credico, and he was the intermediary guy between Roger Stone and Assange. And if you guys remember, Assange was the WikiLeaks guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Julian Assange.
This is remnants of Mueller's report, because Mueller's investigation, because Mueller wanted to squeeze information out of everybody around Trump. Roger Stone said, you know what? Fuck this bullshit. And so he was texting this guy and then he gets caught up in all this. And now that's all he did. It is a nonviolent crime. And they wanted to give him, I think, 9 years.
Yeah.
And so Trump goes on and, you know, he rants about it. And so now, obviously, that puts Bill, is it Barr?
Yeah, William Barr.
Yeah.
William Barr, exactly. So he puts him in a predicament where now he's, you know, he can't do his job, basically, because Trump is texting all this stuff. Anyway, so just a little backstory for the listener on this whole thing. Now, the Democrats want to impeach him because of that.
Yeah, they can all just eat a fat. But here's, you know what's funny about that one real quick? When he got sentenced, you see who the lead juror was on there, right? So there's a whole scandal on that. The lead juror is super Democratic.
Yep.
Right? Number one, ran for office in like 2012 to 20, you know, like recent, you know, in the last couple of years. And she was tweeting, like there was a whole thing about that juror tweeting about Trump well before this investigation even happened. I hate Trump, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So there is a whole big thing about that the main juror on the case. There's drama with that. I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah, the process was corrupt.
We got to move on because I can go on and on and on about this.
Okay. New Hampshire man arrested after allegedly assaulting pro-Trump teen at polling site.
Yep.
Is this the guy with the car?
Nope, that was Florida. No.
That was Florida. Okay.
So a New Hampshire man was arrested Thursday afternoon after allegedly assaulting a 15-year-old Trump supporter and two adults at a polling site during the state's first-in-the-nation primary earlier this week.
Yep.
The teen's mother said in an exclusive interview with Fox News after the arrest that her son is traumatized. The Wyndham Police Department said Patrick Bradley, 34, of Wyndham, was charged with simple assault and disorderly conduct. Fox News has learned that the suspect got in the face of the teenage boy who was wearing a Make America Great hat and volunteering at the Trump tent at his high school. Oh, my gosh. Polling location for the New Hampshire primary.
Yep. You know what's funny about that one?
Ridiculous.
You know what's funny about that one?
Nothing.
No. When I say funny, Donnie Jr. Actually tweeted out. I read it right before. You know, I was reading my news source, my tweeter on the old Twitter machine. He wound up, he realized, he's like, shit. He's like, I actually met those kids. You know, I met that family and everything, like, you know, hours before this happened.
Oh,
he's
wow.
Like, yeah. So he met, you know, Junior, you know, even realized.
Yeah, I mentioned something here that Trump Jr. did put something out there, and that the lady's son was just over the moon, that because he just loves.
Right.
So they arrested him. They're charging him with some bullshit. They need to charge him for attempted murder. 3 counts.
Well, it doesn't sound like he assaulted
them. This is bullshit.
Them. He didn't.
He ran him over in a car.
No, that was Jacksonville.
No. Oh, that's sorry. A different. Right. That's totally different. This is New Hampshire. That was Florida. They said that.
So here's my thing. You know who needs to be held accountable for this? Maxine Waters, Nancy Pelosi, Shifty Shift, all these guys that said, get in their faces. You got to scream at them, and just when they protest or whatever, you get in their faces. And if they're getting gas, you slam their doors. Everything that she's, you're starting to see, that is giving them the green light to, you know, create violence. They should be held accountable.
Setting a precedent. Yeah, plus all these other cities that the Antifa's going nuts and the cops are just standing around doing nothing about it. It's like, I guess there's nothing wrong with walking up to people who believe in Trump and hitting them because they're horrible, bad people. And that's what you do to horrible, bad people is you punch them in the face, right?
I think that what's going to happen. So the thing is that the Democrats are realizing that they are going to lose this. And so this is an act of desperation.
Big time. And
because here's another thing. If you look at how well Trump performed, he did twice as good as Clinton did. And Clinton was a popular president. He won a lot of votes. He did better than Obama, double what Obama got in New Hampshire. Now, like, who are the Republicans who are running against Trump, the incumbent? in New Hampshire, and yet people go out there, they tough out the weather, and they went out and they voted. Now, something interesting happened because ABC, number one, had to acknowledge Trump's popularity in New Hampshire. And I'm going to show you that video. But then there's another thing where MSNBC accidentally interviewed a Trump supporter at that primary, thinking that they were going to interview a Bernie Sanders or some other Democrat supporter. Now,
that was a great video.
Let me play this first video. And this is ABC acknowledges that Trump's popularity.
One of the best videos.
Was it live?
It was live on TV.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Perfect.
So this is ABC acknowledging that Trump's popularity is evident in New Hampshire.
Trump supporters are as fired up as I have ever seen them. I mean, this rally is in an arena that I was at just two nights ago, Saturday night, at an event that included all of the major Democratic nominees, candidates for the Democratic nomination. And we have a bigger crowd here by far just for Donald Trump than we had on Saturday for all of the Democrats. Some of these people were waiting out line starting yesterday. And trust me, Manchester, New Hampshire, it is cold, it is rainy, snow on the ground. They're waiting more than 24 hours, some of them, to come here. So yes, Trump supporters are very energized. You've got the impeachment acquittal, good news on the economy, and Democrats coming out of Iowa seem to be in disarray. They feel like they're on the winning side. And also, by the way, Trump's approval rating is at its highest level ever. But think about it, Lindsay, that approval rating is still, in the Gallup poll, 49%, less than half the country. So even at the high watermark, arguably, for the Trump presidency, he has a tough battle ahead, regardless of who the Democrats nominate.
This is evident that Trump is going to win by a landslide. Now, I also have another video. And again, this is ABC reporting this. Now, here is MSNBC. And the freaking hilarious, dude, because they are going to, this lady thinks, and you can see it in her face. You can see the how she reacts to when she realizes that she's interviewing a Trump supporter at New Hampshire when it's the Democrats' time to shine.
Is New Hampshire like right around New Hampshire?
I'm sorry, it's my accent. Shut the fuck up.
They're right next door to each other.
Is it? I don't even know how to pronounce
New Hampshire.
It.
New Hampshire. What do you say?
Are there hobbits in the Shire?
In the Shire.
New Hampshire.
Fuck you fools. All right, here we go. Watch.
Schmeagle.
But I want to talk to. We have a voter out here, sir. You were watching, so you're going to be on television now. Can you tell us who you voted for?
Donald John Trump.
You voted for Donald John Trump.
Yeah.
Look at that. Bernie Sanders is not appealing to you.
The whole ideology would be destructive to the country. It's anti-growth. It's anti-family. It's anti-American. And as a Roman Catholic, it's anti-life.
Wow, dude. I mean, what more can you say? See, I mean, MSNBC.
Yeah. She's just sitting there smiling like a dummy.
Yep, exactly. All right, Heidi, I know we hijacked this part, but go ahead.
She knows. So here's the thing. She has a smile on her face, right? They know. They know that this is, they're being told that you, it's like when you go to work, this is what we're doing and you can't question it, right? You know, whatever. This is how, they all know that this is craziness, but this is the agenda that they need to push, because how do you on a liberal station say, no, yeah, Bernie's crazy, when he's going to be the guy that they're going to be pushing down everybody's throat because it looks like he's going to win.
Does it look like he's going to win?
Yeah.
For the Democrats.
Yeah, nobody wants him, though. That's the thing.
So how does that work then? If nobody in the Democratic Party really wants him, how is he winning?
The people. That's the difference. The people are voting. So I'm not going to, my boss, right? We have these conversations all the time. He came up with a really good idea. Kind of like out of left field, but can see this happening. You know who's starting who's starting to show up on TV a little bit more vocal on social media, going after Trump, even responding to some of his stuff? Hillary Clinton. So my boss comes up with a really good idea, with a really cool conspiracy. Basically, they all know that Bernie's going to ruin the Democratic Party if he gets elected. If he gets nominated, they all now have to support socialism, and that puts him in a really bad spot in 2024, right? So he's like, she's got the biggest connection to the DNC. She's got the money. She can, right before the DNC, she could turn around and say, you know what? I'm throwing my name in the hat and put it all for a loop. Let it all, let them all fight each other, get everything. Because they realize that they don't have a strong candidate. And if Bernie's the strongest thing, everybody's going to clamor for Hillary again. So don't be surprised if all of a sudden, as we get closer to the primary, mm-hmm. you know, the DNC, that Hillary winds up, it's Trump versus Hillary again.
When is
it's like
the-
it's like WWE, bro. I'm dead serious. I feel like this is going to be a WWE story.
Hillary's seriously coming back?
Tim's conspiracy. Idea.
It's my boss came. And I was like, you know, I could see that.
Mm-hmm. When is the primary, the Democrat primaries?
Soon. Well, they're happening.
So, I mean, she would have to do it pretty darn
quick. The primaries are happening right now. That's the thing.
The caucuses.
No, but it's the primaries. This is what Iowa caucus they call it.
These are the votes for the primary.
Yeah. So right now they're basically getting collect electoral college votes.
Right. So she would, if your theory is correct, she already has to have started.
Right. But if she put her name in at the DNC at the convention and said, you know what, I'm going to run. They still have to, even though he went, they have to give him have to back him at that point at the DNC. Isn't that how that works? Like, isn't that how we got screwed last time?
No. So
didn't they screw him out of something?
So let me explain what's happening. So right now, every state is voting and every state does it differently. But these initial states, what they do is it's basically the electoral college. Whoever wins the majority gets those votes. And so right now, I don't know what's going to happen in Iowa because they're going to redo some precincts apparently. And so whoever wins those precincts, then they get all those votes, right? And so then that's how they're accumulating points. Right now, Bernie appears to be in the lead, either Bernie or Buttigieg. But here's the deal. Bernie just won New Hampshire by, he got 25% of the vote. Buttigieg gets 24%, and then it just goes down from there. And Joe Biden, the guy who was supposedly Trump had to worry about because he was going to be the winner, lies, by the way, ended at fifth place with 8% of the votes. The guy is dead. He's done. Now he went to South Carolina because he believes that he's going to get the black vote. He's not going to get the black vote, but that's what he thinks. And so that's what's happening right now. These are the primaries. The only thing is that Iowa, for some reason, calls it a caucus, but it is the primaries. They're getting those electoral votes. And at the end, whoever has the most, then they go to their national convention. And that's where they celebrate the winner, basically.
Yeah. Do you know what is the total number of electoral college votes and how many do Iowa and New Hampshire have have?
I don't think they necessarily call them electoral college votes, but it is votes. Eventually, whoever has the majority ends up winning. But usually by Super Tuesday, which is where a lot of states vote, I believe Arizona is one of those states, there's a clear winner and then everybody just basically drops out. And then they just prepare they can start campaigning against the president. And then that's when you go to the national convention.
If you're a Democrat that doesn't believe in socialism, how do you back Bernie Sanders? You know what I'm saying? They have no choice now but to back party. And this is going to piss a lot of people off when Bernie's like, well, we're going to give everybody free healthcare and free college. And now those Democrats that went to college, paid their bills, go to work, pay insurance. Now they're being screwed out of all this. They're going to be like, wait a minute. No, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
It puts the Democrat. And partly I hope it does happen because then it hurts the Democratic Party because they're going to have to do a lot of stuff to dig themselves out of this hole for backing Bernie Sanders.
Right. So the problem is the votes. So let's just categorize it as the Bernie supporters, the socialist supporters, whatever, and everybody else in the Democratic Party.
Communists.
All right, the communists and everybody else in the Democratic Party. The problem is everybody else in the Democratic Party, they're splitting their votes among so many other candidates. It's more of a, I'm voting for the person I want, not against the person I don't want.
Right, but now when Bernie wins, because he's most likely going to win unless they screw him.
And then Trump's going to walk all over
him. No. But now, as the... you're moving into the DNC's over. Now you got to support, you're a Democrat. You got to support your presidential nominee.
You don't have to.
They can't go out and break party lines. They can't be like, I don't support Bernie because
when it comes to 2024, they're looking at 2024 going, we can't support this guy. His ideas are batshit crazy. They're going to destroy the country. And even if they do quote unquote back him, He's not going to have those non-communist Democrats supporting him. They'll either stay home and not vote at all, or they'll vote for some
third party, I'm talking Green about the Party, whatever.
I'm talking about the Congress people.
Who cares about those idiots?
No, they care because now what is every commercial in 2022, 2024 going to be? So-and-so, remember, this is the person that voted socialist. Like the Republican, you're basically giving Republicans like keys to Washington for the next decade. And they don't want to do that. Unless it's in certain areas, but
yeah, that's a true statement that you said, Tim. And I want to say something because you guys are right. This is a problem for the Democratic Party because the establishment wants to not nominate a socialist because yes, Bernie is popular with the base and he's galvanizing the base to go out and vote. Now, the Democratic Party is doing a few things to prop up certain candidates. And we're going to get into Mike Bloomberg and we're going to talk about what the DNC is doing to help prop up Mike Bloomberg because they feel that he could be the best candidate to beat Trump. Now, so the DNC is in disarray right now. They're trying to figure shit out. They just had the debacle in Iowa and they are in panic mode. And so what people are saying is that I seen some political strategists. They're out there saying, look, here's the deal. The Democratic Party is going to try to undercut Bernie. And we saw it in Iowa when they didn't want to release those votes initially because Bernie was leading. And so a lot of the Bernie supporters, what's going to happen is if somebody other than Bernie gets the nomination, those people are not going to come out and then vote this other candidate. Those people are passionate about socialism. Those people are passionate about Bernie Sanders, and they're going to stay home if they lose. Now, let's talk about Mike Bloomberg. And the reason I know that the Democratic Party is doing things to prop him up is because they just changed the next debate that they're going to have. They changed the rules just so that Bloomberg could get in. And one of those rules was that they had a rule that said you had to have a certain amount of grassroots. Donations and support in order to be available to in order to be eligible to be in those debates. Well, they changed the rule and they removed it and they say you don't have to have grassroots support. And now that means that Bloomberg is going to be in the next debate. And so this is a fucking the genius or the stupidity of John McCain. And when he did that whole McCain Feingold campaign finance shit where they said anybody can't there's a limit into the amount of money that you can donate into a campaign. And so now here is the Democratic Party. They're like, oh shit, we made these rules and let's try to get Mike Bloomberg in here. He's going to spend his own money, put all these ads out and he's going to be able to win. But the problem is that even if he wins, a Buttigieg or a Bloomberg wins or Joe Biden, he's not going to win. But even the Bernie supporters are going to stay home. They are not anybody else supporters. And so that's the problem that the DNC is right now.
Is it just me or did anybody just notice that it's Biden, Bloomberg, Bernie, and Buttigieg? They're all with all these bees.
Quadruple bees. I know we kind of hijacked you, Heidi, but I mean, these are all very good headlines because it ties into some of the things that, you know, we were going to get into later and just it's just so current and this sure. is a political show. So when you bring political stuff up, we're going to give our 2 cents.
To do.
Plus you're riling up.
Don't get me started.
Let me
on
see
all
if
this.
I can rally you one more time with three Connecticut high school students are suing to prevent transgender athletes from competing in girls sports.
Stop.
So these three young ladies are pissed because they said, you know, these transgender men are coming and competing in our sports and it's specifically track and men are just genetically, they have a different structure of muscle sure.
No. I'm not debating that. It can't go both ways.
The three high school
can't have
girls,
it both ways.
Well, these girls are saying that these girls are supporting that it should not be either way. Right?
So these are the same one. These are the same kind of people. Same kind of girl. Oh, leave him alone. They got to accept. Yes, you got to accept. But I said this about a year ago that what happens when they start playing sports and they start coming over and they're playing basketball, you know, if you're 6 foot one, if you're 6 foot one and already built, but you try to be, you know, be more, you're gonna hurt women's sports.
Sure.
Because you're gonna be superior. Because you
can either. So the article specifically says the families of three high school girls who run track and field in Connecticut are suing in an attempt to bar transgender students from competing in girls' sports. The three student athletes filed the suit in federal court to challenge the Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Conference's policy of allowing transgender athletes to participate. According to the attorney representing the girls, Connecticut's policy robs female athletes of opportunities because the physical advantages of males and deprived female athletes of honors and opportunities to compete at elite levels.
Martina Navratilova, she brought that up years ago. She's like, I guess she is a big feminist. And she's like, as women, we should be fighting this because it's unfair. You've got these men that have basically, you know, inverted their penises and grown boobs. And now we're supposed to compete on a legitimate level with them.
And isn't Connecticut one of those states that tends to lean left and lean towards these social freedoms and these social liberties, if that's what you want to call it?
So last night, again, you guys all know I watch wrestling. Something like monumental happened, right? The first transgender female won the women's.
Okay, when you say transgender female, does that mean that she was born a female?
No, I'm sorry. So I think that's how you refer.
She's a male.
She transitioned into a female. Right. Okay. She is in the women's division. She actually won.
It's a he.
I'm going by the
politically correct
that's the term
okay,
right?
Well, it's fucking confusing, not accepted by me. Explain it, please, so that my idiocy can understand it.
Won the championship. I mean, and right. it sparked a lot of interesting conversations on Twitter yesterday, right?
Hold on. When you say wrestling, are you referring to WWE or
no? Another big promotion. Their competition actually did that.
Well, right, but the WWE has admitted that they are basically entertainment. They are not. All these fights are predetermined.
Yeah, but the wrestling is still a sport, but the outcomes are predetermined. So yes, even this company is sports entertainment, right? So it's all the same stuff, right? It's all the storytelling, right? But they put the women's championship on a transgender male.
They awarded him first place.
Yeah, she, you know, the transgender wrestler wrestled a female, beat her, won the championship.
Right, but it's all predetermined. So the fact that he beat her doesn't mean shit.
No, but now everyone's saying, wait a minute. Again, now you're having quote unquote men in the women's division.
Right.
So
point is it's not a division. It's all the outcome is predetermined. It's still a sport.
The outcome, We're not going to get into that about wrestling. Saying is now what they're saying is it's unbelievable. Now, you know, one side of the argument is, okay, she's still a man. Identifies as a female dress, you know, so she's part of the female women. She's a female women's wrestler, but she's transgender. So now when you have a female that is 120 pounds going up against a female that's 180 pounds, that is has the same athleticism as a man and the same power. How can you believe that this person can win? You know what I mean? And then the commentator said at the end, and this got the other side all fucked up. After she won, he goes, you know, she's king of the mountain now. That statement, they wanted him fucking fired because he said king of the mountain.
King of the mountain because of a she?
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, oh my God, he's mislabeled. I'm like, okay, you guys, everybody need that. You're getting a little out of control about how he was referring to that because I've heard many of you, I want to be king of the mountain. They call the game King of the Mountain, right? So if a female wins, I'm King of the Mountain, you know? Like this whole words, you know what I mean? If you go to a transgender and be like, hey, and you mislabel them and they're like, hey, and you keep doing it, now you're being a dick and not respecting it.
No.
Gotta have a little respect. No. Sorry. It's about a respect.
It's about the truth.
It's about respect. If no, they go, please.
It's not about that's not.
I believe anyway, this is a repercussion of the feminist movement gone crazy because they said they for a long time they said, you know, women and men are equal in all levels. And they even go as far as saying men can get pregnant and all this bullshit. They're not women. The liberal feminist is not for women. They are for liberal fantasy policies. And this whole thing about the wrestling thing it's a product of the Hollywood movies that try to convince us that a female kicking a 6-foot man can hurt him. It's all this, you know, I watch these shows and I'm seeing this woman like punching a guy. And I'm like, yeah, right. Come on, man. Like, and this is aside from having superpowers. I'm talking about characters who don't have superpowers who kick a man and, you know, a big ass man and hurt. Come on. Get the fuck out of here. It's lies that we've told ourselves just to try to convince ourselves that, you know, for some reason, having equal rights means having equal abilities. And that's not true. It goes against common sense.
Okay. So now let me bring this one up. Okay. A transgender male, right? Female. I might be mislabeling how it's said, right? But a female that identifies as a man, right? Mm-hmm. She wants to go play high school football, right? She gets on the team because you can't discriminate. She goes out there, gets leveled. First play, knocked out. Gets paralyzed. What happens then? What's the outcry? Oh, you're supposed to take it easy because she's really, now they're going to say, well, she's really a female playing a man. You know what I mean? You're going down a real dangerous slope because now, because of that choice, are you going to change the rules of football to accommodate, you know, somebody that was good enough to get on the team and didn't want to, and again, maybe a school or whatever, a coach didn't want to have that problem of not putting her on the team, put her in and she got hurt.
Well, so,
and now what do you do?
So the thing is, Tim, with that is when it comes to professional sports, football, basketball, those are the elite.
I'm talking about high school. I'm talking about high school because to this is about a high school gymnastics team.
No, cross country,
whatever. This is a high school sport. So that's why I brought it down to high school football, basketball. What
they get hurt. So they have had some young ladies that have played on football as young ladies. They haven't become boys to do it, but they have done that in some high schools where the young ladies have gone out and they've played on the teams. And I mean, they've been hit just like, you know, they don't know. You don't know that it's a young lady underneath all that gear and they've played and they've held whatever grounds they've had to hold. But
yeah, we've all seen the Bad News Bears. I mean, come on, Tim.
I was being serious. Well,
I know some of them got on, but my question is, how many of them actually got it played in a game? You may have got on the team, but were you good enough to play?
No, they were playing on the teams or in the games. Now, I will say the only ones I know of that were in the games, they were the kicker.
There you go.
But I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody wants to take the risk of putting 100 and, you know, even down to when I played, they didn't want to put me in there because I was 80 pounds going up and trying to go up against 200 pound people. I'm going to get hurt. Dude, you're sitting on the bench. You can't play tackle football. Yeah. I look like the kid from freaking Little Giants. I could barely put his head in the freaking pads. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Seriously.
I've always,
that's how big I was. Like,
I've always been one of those females that there's a place and you just,
I feel like it might be a little dangerous. Like, you know, like if I'm like, you know, trans, you know, again, as you get to pro, can a transgender female start playing women's basketball? He can, you know, that female still didn't go through the full trans, you know, she transitioned into what she wears, how she does her hair, but she still doesn't have all the parts, right? She didn't get it tucked yet. Can she go play in the WNBA?
Alarm.
You know, like if she goes plays in the WNBA, you're at almost a little bit more of an advantage because you can dunk, you can, you know, you have more strength, you know, things like that. Even though some of them will say, no, that's wrong. But I just, until it happens, it's almost everything sounds good until, you know, not my backyard. You know what I mean? Like everything, it sounds good until it happens. And then and then I'm curious about what the outcry is going to be, where the acceptance and the tolerance goes to, not in here. This is only for us. You know what I mean?
You know, okay, let me comment on this, because you know what this means? This means it's the end of women in competition, right? Because the transsexual men are going to dominate it. And all these people who spoke about feminism and women empowerment and all this bullshit are going to end up losing. They're going to end up hurting real females. And that's the reality, right? And we see it, you know, what that recent outcome, was it some beauty pageant where a trans man won? So or was it it was, what's his name?
Oh yeah,
the guy who won Women of the Year was yeah, that guy. And it's like, where, he's a guy, that's a dude. Come on, women, what's going on?
Well, because they know if they. It's like anything. If you are supporting something and then you turn around and be like, no, you wind up discrediting everything for the last 30 years because you're like, oh, you know, power. And no, you discredit the movement, and they don't want to do that, because now what happens to being accepting and caring and all that bullshit? Now you're saying, wait a minute. No, there's an exception. Point exactly. You can't argue it now. You know what I mean? You make yourself look dumb. Sorry. Anyway, we can go on and on and on and on about hypocrisies.
Sorry, teenagers, track field, yay, cross country.
You wanted me to add more?
No,
I did a pretty good job bringing it up.
Heidi, we appreciate the headlines. You did a great job this week. It opened up a lot of good debates, good conversation.
What do you want?
We gotta get this moving on a little bit. I know we took up a lot of your time, but good conversations, good food for thought. Maybe another episode or two, we can revisit this and maybe have some longer conversations.
Well, it'll be interesting good to see what happens. It'll be interesting to see what happens, what Connecticut decides to do about this. Right?
Yeah, I definitely want to try to make sure you follow that.
Yeah.
And so we can get updates, because I'm real curious, because that's going to set a precedent.
Yeah. So the suit was started this week. So we'll see what happens.
Good. Let's see how it comes out.
Cool. All right. So let's go on to the next topic. And one, I'm going to do a little potpourri of stuff. And then I'm going to get to the meat and bones, or the meat and potatoes. So Trump posted a clip from the show Curb Your Enthusiasm. And I don't know if you guys watch the show, but it's actually a really funny show. But the creator of the show is...
You played it like 2 weeks ago.
No. Yeah. So, but here's the deal. Trump retweets this. And so the left, it made them mad. And what they were saying is, you know, what is he doing? Does he realize that Larry, is it Larry? What's his name? I forget his name. God damn it. Anyway, so this guy,
Larry
David.
David. Yeah. The people are telling, posting, you realize that this is making fun of Trump, right? But here's the deal. This is the genius about Trump, is that he takes something that the left made. And it's basically, you know, you saw the video, right? The guy, he pulls up and he's cursing out it. And, you know, and so, but, you know, Trump comes out and says, yeah, you strong man support Trump. And he basically turns it around. This is how he's a freaking genius at what he does, man. And it outraged the left, but which is good. But another thing that I want to get to was, and I'm going to show you this clip. Tulsi Gabbard was, you know, campaigning. And honestly, she's obviously not going to get it. She, you know, came in real low in the primaries in New Hampshire. And so I'm going to play you this video. And I'm going to play you the video of what she said. And I want to get your guys' opinion on this idea that she has. So here we go.
First and foremost, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
So I wanted to ask you, the commander in chief has to make many tough decisions. So if elected, would you have ordered the strike to kill Qassem Soleimani, somebody who's responsible for many American service people's deaths?
I would not have made the decision Trump made, and here's why.
You don't fuck you people.
Here's why. You do not want a commander-in-chief who's going to make emotional decisions about taking out bad guys, even those who have blood on their, American blood on their hands, without understanding the national security implications and ramifications. You do not want a commander-in-chief who's going to go around the world and look, there's a bad guy, there's a bad guy, there's a bad guy, I'm going to go drone strike them all, without understanding the national security ramifications. Our founders knew how dangerous it would be to place all of the power within the hands of one individual to decide whether or not to go to war with another country. Our founders escaped a monarchy where all of that power was in the hands of one person. And they formed this constitution to protect our country against that, any one individual having the ability to abuse that power. So they gave it to Congress, the representatives of the people, who would have that responsibility to decide, do we declare war or not? So if Trump wants to go to war with Iran, he took out Iran's top military general, an act of war, unconstitutional because Congress had not declared war. The administration never came to Congress. There was no proof of an imminent threat that would have required that immediate action that he took. If you want to make the case to go to war, go to Congress.
So I want to mention a couple of things, and then I'll get you guys as a point of view. But one of the things that she said was that, you know, President Trump allowing the military to go out and kill Soleimani. First of all, she said it was an act of war. Number one, Soleimani was in Iraq, if you guys remember this. And he was planning to actively kill other Americans. Now, she's assuming that this is an act of war. What determines if it's an act of war, it's how Iran reacts, right? And another thing that I want to say is that she says that this is in the power of the Congress. However, Trump is not declaring an act of war. He's killing a guy who's actively planning to kill more Americans. And another thing is that Congress right now is in the middle of impeaching the president. So why would Trump go to Congress so that they could spill the beans and fucking announce it everywhere? And then we might lose track of this guy who's killed more Americans than I don't know who. He was one of the most prominent figures that was out there killing American military men and women. Now, here's another question that I have for her is why are we, does she want us to walk around in eggshells when we deal with our enemies? To me, our reaction should be instant. It should be precise. It should be, you know what I mean? And the military did their job, and that's how they were able to kill him instantly. She's just wrong. You know what I mean? Like, and
she started out her argument stating that it was an emotional response. It's like, was it an emotional response? You had an opportunity to get rid of somebody.
And if it is, and so what?
Yeah, that too. So basically, you know, she starts off her argument with this is an emotional response. Well, was it really, or was it just a perfect opportunity to get rid of an asshole?
Exactly.
So, Tim,
she's full of shit. You want to know why?
Tell us.
You want to know why? Because if she says that it was the right move, if you're trying to get the presidential nomination to go against Trump, if you say, oh, what he did was right, you're basically saying he was right. She would have did the same shit. You have this guy in another country bombing the U.S. embassy, killing American soldiers and this, that, and the third. This guy was responsible for 9/11 and everything else, right? Nobody complained about when they got Osama,
right?
Bin Laden.
Yeah.
Did they go to act of Congress and all that? Did they get their permission? Probably not. Oh, we know where he's at.
Were we at war with Osama bin Laden?
We've been at war with Osama bin Laden since 9/11, yeah, which we even went to did all these wars without getting congressional support.
We were in war with them before 9/11.
There's a difference because we were not necessarily at war with Afghanistan or any other country. We declared, you know, what's his name? Osama bin Laden. Basically, he doesn't belong to anybody. And so that's why he's a terrorist. We're going to kill him. Now, why can't we classify Qasem Soleimani as a terrorist who's under the arm of Iran? Iran, the country who's every day declaring that they want to annihilate Israel, one of our friends, right? So again, if the world she lives in is a fantasy world where she feels that, oh, if we only play by the rules and you know what I mean? It's like, BS. No, sometimes you have to make decisive decisions
but
like
BS,
this.
Because you know what? She would have done it. She would have done it. He was in another country, attacking, you know, helping, you know, lead the charge of attacking the American embassy. And, you know, that was the big plot. And then like the day before they were doing some crazy, he was behind it. Okay. Guess what? Boom. You're gone. Done. Okay. Emotional response. Iran did try to do an act of war because they thought we were flying over the country. What'd they do? They shot down a passenger plane. So right then and there, they acted. They wanted to respond, but they messed up. So now the world has got them by the balls, because you know what? You responded wrong. You were the emotional response, and you shot down an innocent plane. And guess what? The whole world knows you did it. Now you got no leg to stand on when they say sanctions and get rid of the Ayatollahs, and you got all the protests, which apparently stopped. It's funny how that happens. Coronavirus. You know what I'm saying? It's like everything has died down. You don't hear shit about Iran anymore. That died real quick.
Because nothing happened.
No, because they...
Nothing. It was the next war, but nothing fucking happened. So
all they can do is say, well, I wouldn't have done it because it didn't create World War III like they thought it was going to do and all this crap. Wow, he did something good again because Iran is backing down because he forced their hand. They did something dumb. It makes him look great. And they can't say that. They can't. Yo, if you're a leader, right, and you're supposed to be the commander-in-chief and people are attacking American soil, which the U.S. Embassy is, people forget that that's American soil. Right. So that's technically an act of war against us. So we responded back, and instead of going after the country, we took out the threat. We neutralized the threat. Heidi, your whole family's military. Isn't that what the military is supposed to do?
Yeah, right.
And she was in the military, so bet your ass. She didn't go serve and protect to say, oh, no, you stop. Don't do that. We're gonna do the Winter Soldier. We're gonna reprogram you. No.
Yeah. So Nelson, you kind of brought up an interesting point.
Yeah.
That basically they were getting ready to attack Israel. What do you think if Trump had given Israel the intelligence saying this guy was here, you think that they would go and take him out?
Oh, yeah, they would. And there's been many instances where Israel has done things. For example, when Iraq was building out nuclear weapons and they were anti-Israel, I think it was the Osirak, but they bombed this site in Iraq where they were building out, they were trying to start their nuclear whatever. And the United States gave them intelligence, and Israel says, you know what? We're not going to wait around for the world's approval. We're just going to act. And they did. And they destroyed that whole thing. Now, one of my biggest issues with her is that she makes a moral equivalency between the United States and Iran, a nation led by freaking crazies, like Tim says, the Ayatollah, who want to destroy everybody. And so it's like, come on, guys, we cannot make that moral equivalence, a nation, a great nation like the United States and this country. So, you know, for me, it's like, you lost me there.
I agree.
The Ayatollah of Ebola.
All right, so I'm gonna get to this one. I'm gonna skip over the whole Michael Bloomberg because we already talked about him. It's this whole video that
Mini Mike, refer to him correctly.
He came out saying that, you know, while he was it mayor or whatever, he directed the police to target male minorities 16 to 25 because in his quoting, I'm quoting here, that's where the real crime is. Now this is the guy who now he's getting the support of a lot of the Democratic establishment. And if this would have been Trump who said that, or Trump who established this policy, it would have been wall-to-wall coverage about the new rise of racism. So get the fuck out of here. And I'm not saying that what Mike Bloomberg said is wrong. I'm not saying what he said is wrong. All I'm saying is I'm calling out the hypocrisy because, what he did and what he implemented, which was stop and frisk or whatever, that whole thing, it saved a lot of lives. And so, you know, again, look, I'm not questioning what he did. All I'm doing is I'm questioning the hypocrisy, because if it would have been Trump, again, the media would have, you know, clobbered him.
So they did in the beginning try to say, you know, they get him on something, because Trump was in support of stop and frisk. He tweeted about it and everything. He's like, I fully support it. This is a great thing and it shouldn't be stopped. Yeah. Done. Moved on to the next. Right. Because once you say, yes, I agree with it, it's fine. It's a good law. Okay. I mean, he didn't say anything bad. He just said, no, okay. You know what I mean? I fully support it.
Oh, okay.
I mean, like, there's no controversy there. You support something that was in effect. And you know the only reason why they want Bloomberg, right? Because they think that they're trying to hold on to that New York vote. Because if they lose New York, that's bad for the Democratic Party. And they think they're going to lose New York. That's the only reason why they want Bloomberg.
You know, I heard there's some Republican campaign efforts in California. they're thinking that they might get some ground out in California. That's because people are tired of the shit in the streets, the sanctuary cities, and all this bullshit. And hopefully, I mean, they're clamoring for Trump to go to California to campaign in California. I think Trump should do it just to, you know, freaking panic them, and they're going to go in chaos. They're like, oh no, we're going to lose California. That'd be great.
Oh, because you got to remember, there's also, you know, the anti-establishment, the anti-Hollywood, the Hollywood elites that are anti-Hollywood, like the James Woods and all that. He actually just posted a great video in San Francisco. I showed it to Jeremy.
Oh yeah, that's hilarious.
Right in front of some nice building in downtown San Francisco, right? The heart, you know, beautiful, what a business park. They have these planters, right? These pots of plants, and they're kind of like stacked and they move up. There's a guy on one of the top ones in the middle of the day with his bare ass, pants around his ankles, taking a dump in that. And they're filming it.
Yeah.
They're filming it, and he turns around and he's squeezing, bro. And then he turned around, realized they were filming. He flips him off right at the end. But Nancy Pelosi's district, this is what's going on in the district. This isn't racism. This isn't some made up thing. This is in real time, the crap going on. So when people go, these districts are crap and these are the people doing it, there's an association, and they go, whoa, wait a minute. Time out. For a long time, things have been fine. But now this is out of control. So if all these people I'm electing are in favor of this, I want the opposite. I want the opposite of what, you know, if we can get these people off the street, clean up, you know, and get our streets clean again so that I don't have people chase me. My friend that lives downtown, I'm not going to use his name, had an episode. He came out of his house. He said he came out of his apartment, right? Downtown. Came out, and there was a bum across the street talking to him, and he whipped his head and saw him. He literally ran up on him, got in his face, shoulder checked him, and went down the street. And my friend was like, what the? He didn't know what the hell, like what was going on. He was like, what the hell? Because it happened so quick. The guy got to the end of the block, whipped his head around again, and bum rushed him again, trying to, you know. And I was just like, he's like, dude, he's like, I didn't know what to do. He's like, I was ready to fight, but he's like, I knew I wasn't saying nothing because if one little word would have sparked the whole thing, you know what I mean? And my friend is, you know, he's got a ton, and, you know, he's got a few little nice little things that you could put on your, you know, hip. But I said, this is the perfect example of why you need, you know, why you should have a concealed weapon on you, because something like that, but the problem is if he would have popped him, that would have caused the problem.
Popped him.
You know what I mean? If he would have diffused the threat, you know what I mean? Because I think he had I think he had a drink in him. You know what I mean? So he couldn't carry, yeah, right? Because if he was going out, yeah, like,
you're right.
But now, like, you see that weird thing? He could have shot him even with a drink in him. He would have gone to jail because he broke that rule that you can't be under the influence.
Yeah, you can get.
But this guy caused the whole problem. You see, like, but here in Phoenix, people don't realize there's a big homeless problem in downtown, but they hide it. They don't. A lot of they're in the heart, but all their tents and everything, they're down by the state capitol, like right by the 17 and whatnot in Madison. So they're like away from it all. They push them like, all right, you go down there. But it's a problem in all these cities. And what do you start seeing in all these cities? Run by Democrats. All the colleges are down there and free love speech. No, 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 homie, stop. You charge $64,000 a head to go to college. Yeah, you ain't about free love and happiness. I'm sorry.
Yep.
Exactly. But yeah, but it's going to turn it. It's going to turn. And I can't wait. I can't wait. And they're trying everything in their power to not. Sorry, I know I'm going on a tangent, but
no, you're good.
They're holding on to straws, man. They're trying to find anything on Trump or anybody to get him out, but hate is going to hate. 2020.
Hate is going to hate.
I can't wait for November 3rd. Yeah, yes. I can't wait. I want to see that Kermit the Frog thing. I want to see it again. I want to see the implosion and the triggering, because it's going to be great. He's going to be like, I told you. His speech is going to be beautiful. It's going to be a beautiful speech, a great, big, beautiful speech by Agent Orange. And these guys are going to lose their mind. And I can't wait. It's going to be so beautiful.
It's going to be beautiful.
It's going to be beautiful.
It's a beautiful wall.
It's a beautiful, speech. It's a
beautiful country.
It's going to be a big, beautiful win, a big, beautiful speech by a big, beautiful number.
Point me.
By a beautiful number. Because it was all bullshit.
Wow.
Okay. All right. So I got a couple more things. One of the things I want to talk about is, and I'm going to let you guys decide because I know we're running up against the clock right here. So two of them. One of them, and I'm going to let you guys decide which one you guys are here. The black student who tells white students that she's uncomfortable by so many white people around her in the same room.
I want to hear
and
that
then
one.
There's the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition.
Yeah.
we want to talk about. So dude, Tim, which one do you want to talk about?
No, I'm not going to pick because I've seen both of them. So I'm going to let Jeremy and Heidi, but I think Heidi.
We can do the
student.
I want to know both of them. No way.
Well, start with the first one.
Start with the student.
All right.
Because this one's interesting.
All right, let's get a little angry and then we'll get a little happy. All right, so this is a student now. Again, this happened in the University of Virginia. They had just opened up a multicultural student center, and a black student, female, feels the need to say this.
Public service announcement. Excuse me. If y'all didn't know, this is the MSC, and frankly, there's just too many white people in here, and this is a space for people of color. So just be really cognizant of the space that you're taking up, because it does make some of us POCs uncomfortable when we see too many white people in here. It's only been open for 4 days, and frankly, there's the whole university for a lot of y'all to be at, and there's very few spaces for us. So keep that in mind.
Thanks. What?
First of all, POCs.
What? And you know that woo? You know that woo came from a white girl. You know that, right? That was a white girl woo. I know the white girl woo, by the way. I make fun of it all the time when I'm in the bar.
So
the only one's a woo.
POC.
Yes.
People of color. So this is multicultural, and she feels white people should not be in a multicultural room. Now, here's my thing, is the overt racism displayed by this woman. And she feels so proud of herself. Like, you look at her face, she's so proud. She's like, yeah, I had courage to say this. It doesn't take courage to say that. It takes idiocy and fucking
narcissism.
This girl has been sheltered all her life. Narcissist. She's been protected. She hasn't suffered from whatever in her mind she thinks she has suffered. She has benefited from a free society, and she doesn't realize where she's at, because there's parts in the world where she would not be able to speak. She would get punched in the mouth. Now, that's not what I'm advocating. All I'm saying is that when you feel the need to say something like this, to me, it boils my blood, because this is reverse racism in my eyes. This is overt racism, and it's wrong, and people need to call it.
Yeah, there's no such thing as reverse racism. It's just racism.
So,
yeah.
Right. So my big thing about this is, you know, when you see that and you're like, okay, so there was a big, massive movement in the 50s and 60s called the Civil Rights Movement, right? They wanted desegregation of schools, bathrooms, pools, parks, everything, you know, Rosa Parks. I'm not sitting in the back, right? People fought for this, for equality, you know? Everybody needs to be, we're created equally. We're not doing this segregation. What she's asking for right there is bringing back segregation. That is 100% asking for segregation. We got past that in the 50s and 60s. People fought for this. One of the best speakers and probably leaders died for fighting this cause. And you're going to turn around and say the exact
opposite.
Like you're ignorant. You're in college, and you're that's an ignorant statement. I'm sorry. That's not a black or white thing. You know what I mean? Or, you know, a cultural thing. That's just a really dumb thing to say. Mm-hmm. Because know your history. The reason why things have been so, what they say is, you know, why there's so much hostility now is because of all this stuff. You want it back. By that statement is you're trying to create a division again by going to white people saying you don't belong here. They're going to get, then you get the wrong ones. Then they're like, oh yeah, okay. Then guess what? It starts all over again. That's a problem. That's a problem. Let me, if it was a white person saying that to black people, I'd be saying the same shit.
Yeah.
It's wrong. It's wrong.
I'm gonna remind this special student of a quote by you mentioned it, which is the quote by Martin Luther King. I have a dream that my four little children would one day live in a country, a nation where they will not be judged by the color of the skin, but by the content of their character. And now this girl decides that she's going to judge people by the skin color. And because white people are innately what? You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, this is so wrong. It goes against what you know, the leader of the civil rights movement said, and it goes against everything that's American. And for in that people clap. That's what disappoint more the most disappointing to me is that people are like, yeah, she's brave. Does not take braveness.
It was white people that clapped. You know that, right?
Yeah.
That woo. And I say that because I know you can hear the voice, right? You can hear that was a white girl woo. I know for a fact. Cause I've heard that numerous times at the bar, right? And I make fun of them when they get drunk because they always lift up their arm, woo! But they're clapping for her basically saying, get the fuck out of here. But they feel it's okay because, oh, I'm here with her, so I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm on her side, so it's okay.
I need to verify this. Hey, Heidi, do the white girl woo.
There you go. That's the one. But here's the deal. So I told you, it's pretty close.
Yeah.
So
wait a minute. But look, I even got the shoulder jiggle. Yeah,
stop that. Stop.
Jesus. Okay, stop. It's disturbing. Yeah,
you're embarrassing yourself.
Make it stop.
No, but think about this, Nelson. Think about this. Multicultural. You are multicultural. You fit that mold, and that bothers you. You know what I mean? You're brown. You could turn around and say, yeah, fuck white people. I don't like them. They bullied me. They called me a little brown boy growing up, this, that, and the third. Like you've mentioned on the show, you got, you know, made fun of. But that guy, the people that did that were just assholes. And they
He's
were kids.
Brown?
Right. But you know what I'm saying? But you don't turn around and look at every white person and be like, I don't like.
No, but Tim, look, you mentioned that point. Now, imagine if I went, I never did. I never went home and crying to my mom and, you know, hug me and make me feel good. Now, I'm not saying that mothers who comfort their kids are wrong in that. But all I'm saying is that this is where a father can play a role and say, look, here's the deal. You know, toughen up, you know, life is gonna treat you like shit sometimes, and you better be ready. You better be ready for those blows, and it's gonna make you a stronger person. Isn't that a better message than, oh, we need to stop everything that is hurting my child? It's like you are building this child to not be ready for the world, and the world is brutal. The world does not care about your feelings, and the sooner you learn that in life, the better you're gonna be, the more you're gonna be able to lift yourself up by your bootstraps, AOC. You know what I'm saying?
For fuck's sake. Excuse me, I'm sorry, but I'm pretty sure that is no longer legal to say.
Yeah.
All right, I'll be right back.
So this is how the conversation would have happened. It would have went, mijo, they're right.
Adios mio,
short brown.
Not my child. Mijo.
You short little brown boy.
Yeah. Come on, man.
Deal with it.
Jesus.
No. Okay, mama.
Fuck, I don't want to leave now.
No. And he would have been like, not the mama, not the mama, not the mama. I'm sorry. I mean, you know, but yeah, I mean, those kids were assholes. You know what I mean? And you're always going to have asshole kids, but it's about hopefully those assholes get checked in life.
And Timmy knows because he was an asshole kid.
I never made, no. I knew people that did. I was friends with them, but I never literally picked on the little Indian kids. You know?
Heidi, you're going to miss this. Before you leave, Heidi, before Heidi leaves, hold on. I want to show you this. Read that headline. Read it.
56-year-old. Oh, my God. Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue to feature 56-year-old plus-sized and bald finalist.
Guys, but for real, I'd hit it.
Why? This is not why people tune into this kind of stuff.
This is...
Who is that?
Definitely not the 56-year-old bald plus-sized finalist.
It's probably a 56-year-old.
Guys, but I'm going to be honest with you, I'd hit it. For real, I'd hit it.
Oh, so we're talking three different people, a 56-year-old, comma, a plus-size person, and a bald finalist. So three different.
She might be considered plus-size. She definitely don't got abs.
She is not.
She's 56.
She's 56.
The gray hair gives it away.
So this is that whole... See, like, because I follow, you know, we follow the same people, right? The Ashley St. Clairs, the Courtney Hollins, and...
Yep.
they.
I'm ashamed to be a woman. I need to
don't get me wrong. They are
the male.
See those. They are very beautiful women. All right. And they go out. And when they see this, they're very, very vocal about it. And I feel like things like this as a man. Yeah, I can say my pleasure, displeasure behind this, but to really go after it, that's where I tap out. I say, I I have my opinions, but to be passionate about it, that's more for, you know, the feminists, the non-feminists, and how they feel about, you know, obesity and, you know, doing all that. Because Lizzo, like I brought this up last week with Lizzo, like they are making her out to be this beauty, you know,
body positivity.
Yeah. And these conservative women are going, we should not be, she's like, I'm not fat shaming, but we should not be celebrating obesity, which is unhealthy and leads to diabetes. Like we are celebrating that she looks like, you know, she's a big, big woman wearing a bikini with her shit just hanging out. You know what I mean? Like, right. And the world is, oh, do you boo? You're beautiful on the inside. Doesn't matter on the out. I get that. I mean, and again, I have my things about, I'm a very vain person, try to work out and look somewhat, you know, cool. Right. But I will never go out of my way and go up to somebody and be like, you're fat. You know what I mean? I might not agree with it, but I will never, except for Nelson, joke around and fat shame him. But
I appreciate it, buddy.
But he's fat and short, so it's okay.
No, because he starts it. He makes the jokes on himself. I never turn around. He's like, I'm a short little fat fucking bald guy. You know what I mean?
Hey, the ladies love it.
And then we joke about
what him to say. They right, still want
he
it.
Gets
they
more
still
play than it. I do, so I mean, it works for him. But I don't go up to you and be like, hey, bro, you need to work out and eat. You change your eating habits. When you look at it, like, I know why I'm like this and I choose it. Okay, that's fine. And I know that he's not going to complain to me if he gets diabetes tomorrow. Oh, man, this life sucks. No, he knows that like his choices did that to him. You know what I mean? But everybody, if these people come out, oh, I got that. Oh, my God, we got to do something for her. No, she needed to just stop. She needs to try to reverse it by, because you can reverse some of these side effects, you know, by eating healthy and working out and doing those things. Just because you don't want to do it don't make you bad, but I don't think it should be, I personally don't feel, and people can fucking hate me on it, but I don't think it should be touted as great, you know, like yeah. Just like
it definitely should, like you said, it should not be celebrated.
It should not be celebrated. It's sickening because when I see kids that are obese, like parents should go get in trouble for that because you are giving your kids processed foods, sugar, soda. When I see a kid, a 9-year-old, like a 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old kid drinking a soda, it bothers me.
Like a 64-ounce big gulp.
Yeah, because I'm like, wait a minute. You are just giving this kid shit. Like, I get when he gets older, he makes choices, but you are giving him that choice. And when you give him McDonald's all the time and fast food, like, that's not, we know it's not good. Why would you give your kid that? If you know
it's fast and easy.
And it's cheap.
It's cheap, fast, and easy.
But now you get this, I personally feel, right? And through some of my experiences in life, why when it creates a big separation between kids and their parents, when you're doing all this crap that's almost negligence on your kid. You know what I mean? In my opinion,
it is,
you know, in general, but anyway, I know we're talking about swimsuit, but
so I, this is going on what you were saying, that whole thing about obese kids and parents who it's always about it. Like I said, man, when you live in a free society, this is going to be a byproduct of it. And to me, I tread lightly when I say, well, I want the government to come in here and intervene. No, what I would say is I don't want the government to intervene. What I want is don't make me pay for this. When this person ends up in a hospital and now needs medical care because they did not take care of themselves, I don't want to have to pay for that. And I shouldn't be held accountable for paying for somebody like that. Now, getting back to go ahead.
Before we get off this, this idea that you don't want the government to get involved in the healthcare and fixing this problem. Mm-hmm. Do you realize that the government is the one that caused this problem?
Yeah. The whole food pyramid.
If you go back to the 50s, right? The Zapruder film is a good example, right? The film where Kennedy got shot. If you look through that video
or the film, I guess it would be. You look through that film, you would be hard pressed to find a person that's fat. It just wasn't a thing. Yep. You go out on the street now and videotape anybody, you're going to see the majority of obese people. And it basically started in when the government released dietary guidelines called the food pyramid.
And they put it in the schools.
They told America.
They put it in the schools.
They taught everybody. It was everywhere. It became medical, you know, doctrine. It's just, and it's really been proven in this point to be a complete fucking lie.
Failure. It's a failure.
They tell them you're supposed to have like between 6 and 11 servings of grain every day. That is ridiculous. Grains are one of the worst things for you. And they put fats in meats at the top of the pyramid, saying you're only supposed to have a little bit of that. And they basically got it completely wrong. Mm-hmm. And they would be hard-pressed to have done it in any worse.
Yeah.
And they realized that.
Jeremy, these were the experts at that time. And again, for me, it's good to have ideas. You know, everybody has the new diet idea, and it's great. You know what? Try it out for yourself. But don't make government regulations. Don't have the government intervene and inculcate this in kids. That's what I'm saying. Like, right. I feel like the more the government gets involved in shit, that's why I'm for limited government. But the more government gets involved, the worse shit gets. And so for me, like, again, if we did live in a true free society where people get to decide, I agree with you, Jeremy. I don't think we would be in this predicament as a society. And
we would not. Anyway, so we would not be in this predicament at all.
I want to say something about this whole thing. Like, look, this woman, I know we've described her. She's actually a beautiful woman in my eyes. I know we all have our preferences, but in my eyes, she's beautiful. But she's not a Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition type model. And again, the people who publish this, all they're doing is they're saying, hey, you can still be sexy and hot as a grandma at 56. And okay, but come on. We're exalting things that you know what I mean? Like it's a good effort, applaud, slow clap, you know, type of stuff. And it's, come on, we don't need this. You know what I mean? Like it's really not doing any good in my opinion. Go ahead, Tim.
So Elizabeth Hurley, right? She just came out recently. Yes. She is gorgeous still at 50. Holy
cow. You know who else is banging it? Demi Moore.
Yeah. But real quick, so with Elizabeth Hurley, she has her own bikini line. She came out and said just recently, she's like, you know what? She's like, I've decided that she's like, I'm 50 years old. I'm not going to go out in a bikini. She's like, don't get yourself wrong. If I'm at a private pool or in the privacy of my own home, I'm going to wear a bikini. You know what I mean? But she's like, if I'm out in public, I'm just not going to wear a bikini anymore. It just doesn't, I'm 50 years old. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. She looks still better than a lot of people in a bikini, but she's like, I'm an adult.
Oh, you know? No, dude, she did not age well.
No.
No, 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 dude, don't pull her up. You're really going to regret it.
I would still.
Oh, dude, Catherine Zeta-Jones. No, dude, really? Find a recent picture. She
no way, for real?
Did not age well. Dude, no.
That's unfortunate. Look at Jennifer Aniston. She just turned 51 and did a photo shoot. Beautiful.
Oh yeah,
beautiful.
I've never been a big thing about her.
Yeah, she's but in Jennifer Aniston, she's on a different level. Yeah, she's gorgeous, man. Anyway, Heidi, you're up.
Okay.
All right.
Crazy Chronicles.
A family of four built a private tiny house village where the kids have their own homes on the property.
Oh. Alabama.
Okay. Oh, we're guessing like, state?
Sure, yeah.
Tree houses, a different version of tree houses, right?
Lighthouses like rule.
Massachusetts.
Then not my chair, not my problem.
Just the balloon hands.
Do you have a state, Nelson?
Crazy sidewalks. I'm going to go with...
Crazy sidewalks.
Illinois.
Okay, Kentucky.
I was close.
And I'm gonna show, like they seriously do...
Yeah, well,
have separate homes for each of the.
Yeah, that is fantastic.
No, put it up. Put it in front of your camera, Heidi. In front of your camera.
Oh, right here, cool.
Yeah. So I mean, that kind of makes sense. You know, they're tiny houses. They're
tiny houses.
I want my own little tiny house.
You can like go on and look at. You can look it up, and they show you like what each of the houses looks like. So the 18-year-old, the 16-year-old, they have their own. Their oldest has moved out, and so they have like an extra space.
He moved out to another tiny home somewhere.
No, he was older. He's older, so he went off to school and got his own.
Dude, but think about that. If you're like 15, 16,
clubhouse, playhouse, there's swimming pool. Is freaking huge. It's 18 by 33 feet.
It's bigger than their house.
Yeah, and 8 feet deep.
But what's nice about that, like if I'm 15, 16, I don't have to worry about putting a sock on the door. I don't have to worry about somebody walking in. I can bring a girl over.
Yep.
I can be like,
so, you know, I don't,
his bed is,
I don't like
his,
that idea.
So. He's got a king size bed.
You have two girls, that's why.
He's got a king size bed in his own little living room.
I think it's a, I think it's important for young adults, teenagers, whatever, 16, 17, 18, 19 year olds, if they're living in your house, they need to not be doing that. Get your own place and do that. You're not doing that here.
They don't have any privacy.
Well, yeah, even if you, even if you give them privacy, you know, like if you're on the other side of the house or whatever, it's like, no, you don't, you don't get to do that here.
No, you're that's, right. No, no.
I think it's important that you learn that.
I agree. So I'm almost 40 years old, right? If I bring a girl home to New York with me, we are not allowed to sleep in the same bed unless we're married.
Wow.
That's okay. That rule still apply. I'm 40 years old. I can't, I could be living with a girl. And I had two girls that I pretty much living with, but not living, you know what I mean? But you know, we go that we're grown ass adults.
You know what?
Tim, she's downstairs, like, you're upstairs.
It's one of those things is like, okay,
you met my,
here's the deal. You're going to bring a little boy, or, you know, if you're a boy, you're going to bring this little girl over. You better leave room for Jesus.
Well, dude, honestly,
where do you come up with this shit?
My dad, because he's been drinking. That's why.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. Sorry. So he gets the one liners when he starts drinking.
Oh my God. That's the second one. He's reached the bottom of the second, third one. 64 ounce of drink.
Shut the fuck up.
Oh, he's drunk. He's drunk. Oh yeah. He's drunk.
Take that.
He's got the shit
to
perk up.
Okay. Yeah. Well, needless to say, it was cute. I thought it was pretty funny and I thought I'd get a kick out of everybody. Okay.
Get that racist shit out of here.
Oh my God.
Okay, next story.
Hey, my neighbors are like, who the fuck is up at this time?
Yeah.
At this quiet little cranberry town.
German farmer.
Düsseldorf.
Germany.
God bless. Fuck you guys.
Is it German Düsseldorf?
Well, we've been drinking.
A German farmer, his marriage proposal has been spotted on Google Earth.
Google type?
It was so big out on his farmland. Will you marry me?
That's what
they,
she said.
They could get a picture of it from... Jesus.
No, like, that's not crazy. That's stupid.
No, what's wrong with that?
That's kind of neat.
It's his landlord.
No, like, that's more of a headline than a chronicle.
It says, Willst du mich heiraten?
What?
She used to speak fluent German, and now she's pulling shit like that. You believe that?
No,
your mother would be ashamed of you.
You got to big or you got to go home. You got to get big or you got to go home. Get big.
Big.
Or go home.
Really big. Oh.
Put that shit on the table.
Oh, God. All right.
Did she say no?
No. Who knows? Do you know how long it takes Google picture to even see something like that?
Oh, yeah. They did our neighborhood not too long ago.
Yeah. So. Ugh.
See, that's more of a chronicle than that.
Okay. One more state.
Guess the state.
Guess it. Here goes. Man arrested for possessing pot lights up a joint in the courtroom during his hearing.
That's awesome. That sounds like Colorado, California.
I call California on that shit. What do you got?
Wait, New Jersey.
Florida.
Tennessee.
Memphis. what city?
So Lebanon.
Who?
Lebanon.
There's a Lebanon?
Tennessee. Yes.
Okay, Shakira.
Yeah. So
well, she's Lebanese. That's where
he was there because he was possessing pot. So he walked in and the suspect approached the bench to discuss his sentence, but instead expressed his views on legalizing marijuana. By lighting up his marijuana.
Is marijuana kind of like marijuana?
Brave.
And smoked it in front of the judge. That was his,
That's him putting his dick on the table.
No, that's him going to jail for a lot longer than he
had. He put it on the table.
He's an idiot.
Yeah, that was his defense.
Why would you blow that into the camera?
Here's the deal, judge. Here's the deal.
Because he's on his...
Oh my God.
Pretty much.
Done. The judge is like, get the fuck out of my court. Get that racist shit out of here.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this episode of The Salty Show. Find us on all the social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Give us a follow, hit that like button, and share some of the content. Tim is actually putting out some really good stuff out there lately. I love it.
We're getting a lot of traction.
Good. All right, folks, we'll catch you all next time. Adios.
See ya.
Guten Tag.